Welcome along to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Totes Fantasy. My name's Sam Hart, stepping in for regular host Bruce Millington on this busy weekend of racing. We have action from Ascot, Lingfield, Haydock, and finishing things off, we head over to Longchamp for the Poulain and the Pouliche. Never can I do these shows alone, though. Of course, I'm joined by a stellar cast to guide you through the weekend. This week, we have Racing Post David Jennings and Maddie Plough, and as always, the captain of our Postcast Tote Fantasy team, the one and only Jamie Benson. Now, Bruce will hate me saying this, Jamie, but we have quite the record of making some profit with our team in the Tote Fantasy game when I'm on the podcast. Yeah. How did we get on last week?
He did absolutely appallingly.
Oh, like, no.
Whoa. Excuse me.
Didn't we? I thought we have tailed off.
Our homework. Bloody hell. That's an awful allegation.
No, we did. We must have done all right last week.
Honestly.
Azura Blue anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but we went with the other Dodds filly in that because we went with G-Rod Shout. Basically, it just, the cards fell the wrong way.
We can't be blaming Graham Robway.
DJ, as always, you were faultless.
Well, no, certainly not. But I thought we had a few in there.
Hopefully this week we can make up for everything and have a few winners in the game. Jamie, it's a fantastic game for our listeners to get involved with. Give everyone a quick rundown of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just, you pick one horse in each of the seven ITV races. So, of course, they're coming from Ascot, Lingfield and Haydock this Saturday. And yeah, all you do is you have a 10,000 guinea budget. You've got to pick one horse in each of the races. So you've got to balance your budget. It's a bit like fantasy football. And you can win a decent pot. The winner would take about a grand home on Saturday, I'd say. But there's money to the top 25%. And so ultimately, maybe one or two winners could be enough, especially if you use your stable style correctly, which is double points, and your Stewards Inquiry, which boosts your horse a finishing position. So yeah, it's just a bit of fun. It gives you an interest all throughout a card on a Saturday and all days, actually. Runs every day.
But Northern Express was the other one, Jamie, in the Hunt Cup.
Again, I don't think that we had him in the list. I think we went with G-Rods in that. Right. Honestly, and it G-Rod. Just... It
let,
just
let, went G-Rods. We'll be fine this week, and we're looking for feedback on the Tote Fantasy game. You can go down and click the link in the audio description, fill out a quick survey with regards to the Tote Fantasy game, and we'll be giving away a £50 Amazon voucher. So let us know your thoughts, click on that with your chance to win that. But Jamie will be building a Tote Fantasy team throughout the show, and we'll come to that right at the end. It's worth having a quick 2-minute review of the Chester Classic trials this week. DJ, I'll start with you. First of all, how are things with yourself?
I'm very good, Sam. Very good.
Keeping well.
Can't complain.
Good. Yeah. And it's worth talking about Save the Last Dance. She was the outstanding horse so far in the Cheshire Oaks. She won it in incredible fashion. You did the stable tour for Aidan O'Brien at the start of the season for the Racing Post DJ.
Thanks for this.
Do you think they expected her to be putting performances like this up?
Well, the fact that she didn't make the stable tour would suggest... no, they didn't.
Did you mention her?
No, see, I had to pick 53-year-olds for the stable tour. And she had finished sixth in a Thurles maiden. And if you're putting in fillies who have finished sixth in Thurles maidens, as I said in my column, I would have been doing it for a fortnight. So she didn't make it. San Antonio didn't even make it. So it just goes to show you how much kind of horses can improve from two to three. And those who you expect to excel at three after excelling at two don't often do so. So yeah, the fact that Save the Last Dance and San Antonio didn't make Aidan O'Brien's stable tour is quite embarrassing, especially if they go on to win the Oaks and the Derby. But Save the Last Dance visually was extremely impressive. I think in the case of Save the Last Dance, maybe not San Antonio to a certain extent, but maybe Arrest. I thought the two races kind of fell apart a little bit, fell into both laps. I thought there was a bit of an overreaction to Save the Last Dance's Oaks price. Her closing sections were very good, and she was only getting going. But you'd have to factor in the ground as well. And while I'd say she is very, very good, 13-8 for the Oaks, hopefully we'll find better 13-8 shots tomorrow.
Yeah, look, 13-8, well backed after that race. Maddie, you've been at Chester this week. I mean, what were the standouts there, bar Save the Last Dance?
Yeah, so I was there on Wednesday, my first visit to Chester. Absolutely loved it. And I must admit, I was really taken with that filly beforehand. She looked like she was in season. So I was quite concerned whether she was going to run any sort of race beforehand. But she really did. And it's funny, when you actually see a horse like her up close and you see that finishing kick as she ran by the line, as DJ said, I think the race definitely fell apart. But the acceleration and the stamina that she showed, she just wasn't stopping. It took Ryan Moore quite a long time to pull her up. So for all she wasn't on my Oaks dance card beforehand, she certainly is now. Arrest, I was quite surprised they went forward with him from such a long way out. And again, I think the race just fell apart in behind due to the ground and the conditions. But yeah, two very high class prospects, and well worth attending to see those two.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, they're two very exciting three-year-olds and looking forward what they can do come the weekend of Epsom. Let's get into the previews then. Let's start off with Ascot, and we kick things off with a class three handicap over a mile and a half. And Nathaniel Green tops the market at 3-1. Sir Rumi is 5-1. High Fiber 11-2. Savvy Knight 6-1. Saratoga Gold is 9-1 in double figures, and Bigger the rest. Plenty of open looking races to look through this week, Maddie. Who do we like in the first?
Yeah, I zoomed in on Savvy Knight. Caught by Caravaggio, gelding by Caravaggio. You wouldn't expect him to be running over races of this distance, but he was fourth in the King George V Stakes at Royal Ascot last year. That's a real standout piece of form. The wheels fell off a little bit afterwards, but he put up a really good performance in the Rosebery Handicap at Kempton last month. That's traditionally a really good race. Winners come out of it, and they already have, with the likes of HMS President and a few more who finished in behind. That never would have been Savvy Knight's track. He's a big, rangy, staying horse, and he was just short of room. Took him a while to wind up, yet he still managed to finish fourth, just beating a length and a quarter. He races here off 88 when he won his first handicap back at Hamilton on his third start as a three-year-old. That was off 85, so he's down to a really nice mark. That run was very promising. I think there's a lot more to come from him, and his best run came at this track.
Okay, yeah, Savvy Knight 6-1 currently. The talented Harry Davies taking £3 off that one there. DJ, who for you in this one?
Oh, I'm a Nathaniel Green fan. There's probably not a great deal of juice in the price at the moment. I thought he might be a little bit bigger than 3-1, but he just looks like your typical kind of William Haggis 4-year-old improver. He won first time out last season as well, albeit only in a little novice stakes at Chepstow. But he did improve as the season went on, and I thought he was a little bit unlucky, probably not to finish a little bit closer in that handicap at York on a second last start in October. And then I'd imagine bottomless ground, never really got into a challenging position in the November handicap at Doncaster. Like, he was sent off 5-1 for that, and it just didn't happen. I think maybe this season we might see the best of him. Like, he's rated 90. I wouldn't be surprised if he went on to be kind of a Group 3 listed performer. Certainly think American 90 doesn't do him justice. So, yeah, it'd be one of my more confident votes on Saturday, Nathaniel Green.
Okay, Nathaniel Green, 3-1. Jamie, I mean, with regards to the Ascot races for the Tote Fantasy game, you're probably going to have kind of a free choice in these races with regards to our budget. But who do you fancy?
Yeah, exactly right. It's reasonably open, especially with things like the Victoria Cup. So we're not too limited in terms of the budget. Most of the budget we spent at Lingfield, I'd imagine. But I mean, I personally was going to have a bit of a flyer on potentially two that look a little bit more exposed in the form of Raven's Ark and Green Team for Ian Williams and Huey Morrison. And ultimately, it's just sort of a bit of an angle that Nathaniel Green could be £10 clear of this field. But as DJ says, there's not a great deal of juice in his price at the moment. So just taking a small chance that two trainers with excellent record with sort of more staying types. And Raven's Ark's won first time out. Green Team's been tipping away in Dubai, so he'll be fit. And I just think they're both quite interesting runners that could fill the frame. But ultimately, I do think Nathaniel Green is probably better than all of these.
Okay, a bit of confidence behind Nathaniel Green from Jamie and DJ there. Let's move on to the 205. It doesn't get much easier. Another open-looking race. It's a Class 2 handicap over a mile, and Timeless Melodies, the 7-2 favourite. Mountain Song 4-1. Julia Augusta 11-2. Belle Haven is 13-2. Bacara Rose and One Morning 10-1 and 14-1. And Bigger the rest. Quite a few unexposed types in here, DJ. I know Robbie Wilder's Nap runs in here in One Morning, who's currently 10-1. Who do you like?
I like Julia Augusta for Roger Varian and David Egan. It's one of them races you can kind of really strongly fancy one that could potentially be seriously well handicapped. And One Morning is one of those, like, only ran three times, rated 82. You don't really know the ceiling of One Morning's ability, but I don't think we know the ceiling of Julia Augusta's ability either. On her second start, I was kind of slightly blown away by her at Thirsk. She made all that day under Danny Tudhope, but she absolutely bolted up. And I always think Tursk is one of them tracks that it's kind of hard to win by a really wide margin, and she absolutely bolted up that day. Then she went to Newbury for a five-runner handicap. It was a very good race, actually. Morgan Ferry won it, who probably has franked the form since, to be honest, because Morgan Ferry won it off a mark of 81, and Morgan Ferry, now only rated 89, but has won a handicap at Lingfield and was just touched off on Good Friday as well. And I think State Occasion was second in that race off 89, and State Occasion is now rated 103. So while at the time Julia Augusta was 6-4 favourite, and you'd say she was bitterly disappointing, the first three pulled miles clear of the other two. And maybe it wasn't as bad a performance as it appeared at the time. I don't think the race was run to suit either. I think she's definitely better than her handicap mark in 92. There could be loads in here that are better than their handicap marks, but I'm hoping Julie Augusta is the one that's most clear of her mark at the moment. So she'll do for me.
Top weight, Julia Augusta for DJ. Maddie, any agreement with DJ here?
Yeah, absolutely. She was the one that I put up in the weekend of this week for this race. You can just repeat DJ's argument times two. I must admit, you know, off a 301-day layoff, and there's been plenty of rain around. So as a daughter of Ulysses, I was a little bit concerned just how much juice there was in her price of 11-2. But if she drifts out a bit, I think that's probably fair enough. As DJ said, the form of her Newbury run is really strong, stunning beauty in behind as well. And I think, you know, there's lots of unexposed fillies in this race. So when you come around to liking a top weight, it can be quite jarring for some people sometimes. But she's clearly got a hell of a lot of potential, and 92 may not be her ceiling.
Okay, yeah, Julia Augusta, agreement there. Jamie Benson, it looks like Julia Augusta is going to go into the Tote Fantasy team this week, but who do you like?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I'll be overruling the panel here. My selection was going to be Belhaven. I was so impressed by her winning at Nottingham last time out. She absolutely gagged up, and she was backed off the boards that day as well. So I think she's just probably got more in hand. She's got 7 for that, which is a fair slap. But Pierre-Louis Jamin takes 3 off again. I just think that she is a filly on the improve, and even her back end form of last season really works out. You know, she finished the season with beating Pisanello at Redcar, who then came out and ran with a lot of credit again at Newmarket just now. So I think she's a filly on the rise, and at sort of fourth in the betting, I thought she was a rock solid each way shout.
Okay, Belhaven for Jamie Benson, but Julia Augusta, confidence from Maddie and DJ on that one. On to the highlight on the card there at Ascot. It's the Victoria Cup. 23 runners go for the 7-furlong contest here at Ascot. I'm going to be there tomorrow, Maddie, for this race. I mean, looking at the prices, it's as open as it ever is. Baradar 7-1, Totally Charming 8-1, Fresh 17-2, Kingdom Come 9-1, 10-1 about last year's winner Vafortina, and 14-1 and bigger the rest. You've got to try and give me the winner, Maddie.
The impossible task. Again, I'll reference some of the horses that I thought would run well in my weekend piece. Ropey Guest, obviously he's a standing dish in races like this. I put him in the trifecta. But Rebel Territory was my main selection. However, the draw has not done me any favours. Rebel Territory in 2 and Ropey Guest in 4. The last 10 winners of this race have all come from double figure draws. And I usually, as a rule, like to be drawn high on Ascot straight course. I just find that often is the way my cards fall. So I'm going to have to reassess, I think. I'll stay loyal with those two a little, because I think it's always wise to have both bases covered in terms of the draw. But I'll probably leave the strong opinions on this to the other guys. I think the Safe Voyage could be quite interesting, particularly mm-hmm. if the ground does really churn up. Perotto, another one, and Biggles on my shortlist. But I've got to be honest, Sam, this is really difficult. And it's just not looking like my sort of race at the moment.
It's not going to be easy. You're hoping the other guys have strong opinions, but it may be very interesting to see whether they do. DJ, I found a few in here interesting at bigger price. I thought Sir Dancelot was actually an interesting one, with Gerard Mosse taking the ride for the first time for John Butler. So he hasn't ridden the horse, I think, for 2 years, Gerard Mosse, but he obviously got along really well with this. I find it fascinating he's come over to ride this one at 33-1. I don't want to give a mention for Darkness, because I do that every time he runs, but have you got one at a big price?
Not really, no. I think the draw is very interesting, because even last year when Vafordino won it, was drawn 27, Accidental Agent was second, drawn 26, and River Nymph was third, drawn 28. So they were drawn in neighbourly stalls, the first three home, 26, 27 and 28. So it is very interesting to draw. And even you go back to River Nymph won it the year before out of 24. And certainly a single figure draw certainly seems to be a negative here. I actually thought River Nymph had run well again. Just in around the right rating, goes really well at this track. You know what you're going to get from River Nymph. He's going to be there or thereabouts. It's just a case of if one is really well handicapped. I'm actually going to take a chance that Kingdom Come is a group performer. Now, there's a lot of question marks, and you can see, you know, if people are listening to this, they're going to say this is ridiculous because he's won his last three starts in the all weather. He's now going into one of the most competitive early season handicaps on grass. But there's just something about Kingdom Come that suggests to me that he could be really, really classy. Last time, he was very good on his previous start at Kempton when he beat Chole Empire. That was only off a mark of 80, but he went up £15 for that. And he was running off 95 last time at Kempton. And he absolutely bolted up, I thought. There was a stage there where I thought he was very keen in the early part of the race. And I didn't know if he was going to see out his race. But he won really, really easily. And you're kind of saying, oh, it looked a decent race at the time on paper, even though there was a small field. And you're wondering what he beaten. But the second home that day, who he basically hammered, was Rainbow Fire. Rainbow Fire was running off 92 in that. Off 95 at Haydock a couple of weeks ago, Rainbow Fire won that really good 7 furlong handicap and beat Guidor. Is now rated 99. So you've got to factor in that Kingdom Come has basically beaten easily a horse who is now rated £7 higher and has won since. He's run off 102 here, so he's up another £7. He's on grass. His two runs on grass were probably middling. The second one was much better than the first at Newbury. I thought he shaped with reasonable degree of promise at Doncaster, but he just looks a completely different animal this year. He had 2 years off. I think he could be very good, Kingdom Come. This is a big ask, but you're getting like 9-1 is a big price about a horse who's won his last three starts. So I'm going to chance Kingdom Come.
He has drifted out a bit, hasn't he, DJ? I must admit, when I first looked at the race and he was favourite, I was really keen to take him on. But now there's some of these more exposed horses towards the top of the market, and he's got that draw. I can certainly see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I mean, he's like 9-1. He's definitely one of the improvers in the field for sure. I completely agree with DJ. Couldn't be a group performer later down the line in the season. So Kingdom Come for DJ there. Jamie, I don't know how much of a look you've had at this race, but it's not going to be easy to find the winner.
Yeah, I mean, I always love having a big trifecta perm in this because it's just such a fun race to punt. Mm-hmm. But I've been eyeing up a horse for this for the past like 3 months, and it's Vapotino, and I've seen nothing this year to put me off. He was second last time out to Rebel Territory, where he just looked like he was in need of it. He came there travelling well and then just didn't quite find. And ultimately, I think that's going to put him spot on here. He is £7 higher, I think, than when he won it. £6 higher than when he won it last year. So ultimately, that combined with the lower draw this time round as well, are slightly challenging. But he's only 14. He should be fine from there. And I just think he has been laid out for this. I mean, as many of these will have been. I don't think it's hardly guest of the year to say it's been laid out for it, but him and River Nymph, the two previous winners, I just thought that they were really, really fascinating runners here. River Nymph's only £1 higher than when he won it on soft ground, so you know, I'd say that he is going to be bang there as well. But Vapotino, I've been waiting to punt him for this for a while, and I'm definitely going to get stuck in.
Oh, Jamie is getting stuck in.
There we go.
3 months is a long time
to be saving up, Jamie.
But what?
3 months is a long time to be saving up.
There we go. I mean, looking at that, Jamie's going to be with the form of the Victoria Cup form and go with the two previous winners. So be fascinated to see if they can do it. Maddie, did you say that you don't think it's ever been done?
No, I don't think any horse has ever won the race twice. You can sort of understand why with it being a devilishly competitive handicap. But I see Jamie's angle. I mean, there are a lot of known quantities, and in those two, you're surely going to get a decent run for your money.
Absolutely, yeah, course and distance form. So there we go, that's Ascot completed. Join us after this short message for a look at Lingfield and Haydock.
Tote Fantasy, proudly sponsoring the Racing Postcast. Daily fantasy racing with real cash prizes up for grabs. A cross between fantasy football and the play spot. Who's in your stable? Visit tote.co.uk/fantasy to find out more. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the second part of the Racing Postcast, sponsored by Tote Fantasy. Sam Hart, David Jennings, Maddie Plough and Jamie Benson steering you through the weekend racing. Let's move on to Lingfield now, where the original turf meeting has been moved to the all weather there, which could make things much more difficult for our panel to analyse. And we start off with the 150, which is a 7 furlong handicap and a class 5 event. Don't think we get many class 5 events here on the postcast, but we will roll with it. Gold Medal is the 5-1 favourite. Win for Glory is 11-2. Legal Reform is 6-1. Otago is 8-1, along with Sharava and to the nines. And then we're looking at 9-1 and bigger the rest. DJ, you can go first here. Who wins this?
Very tentative vote for 2-9, who I think has turned into a reasonably well handicapped horse off 7-4. Was value for finishing closer to Doggett last time at Ripon, and just got into a little bit of trouble at a crucial stage of the race. So I thought off a mark of 74, he was a decent enough each way play, but wouldn't be overly confident, Sam.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. Maddie, not the classiest Rachel preview on the postcast, but have you got a strong opinion?
No strong opinion, but I do think Gold Medal deserves to be at the top of the market. Dylan Kunha, worth speaking about him, a South African trainer who's recently moved to Newmarket to give it a go. And with limited resources, he's had some really fabulous results. And this horse has won both his starts at Lingfield for the trainer. He's now going up a furlong, but I don't think that will be a major problem. And at 5-1, I think there's probably still a bit of juice in that price.
Okay, Gold Medal for Maddie. And to the nines for DJ. Let's move on to a much classier race then, shall we? The 2.25 at Lingfield. It's the Chartwell Filly Stakes, a Group 3 over 7 furlongs. And Sacred tops the market at 2-1. Queen Animatu is 3-1, along with Sandrine. White Moonlight 8-1. Secret Angel 20-1. Candle of Hope 25-1. Love Interest 25-1. And Nizaka, the outside of the field at 25-1 as well. First group event of the show. Some really smart performers in here, Maddie, but which one takes the prize?
Yeah, I kind of half thought that Sandrine might be favourite after she won the Lennox last year. She wasn't the most consistent with her performances, but also ran pretty well in defeat in the Falmer Stakes as well. I think this intermediate test is her trip. This is exactly what she wants for the Andrew Boulding team. Obviously, you've got the two William Haggis horses ahead of her in the market. That stable was really hit form at Chester this week after looking a little bit quiet. But yeah, I think I'd like to stick with the class angle in Sandrine. That form from Goodwood last year was really good. Obviously, she beat Kinross and Pogo, and Sacred was back in fourth. I just think she's probably been overlooked a little bit based on what she's achieved. So it would be Sandrine for me.
Sandrine, 3-1-4. Maddie, David Jennings, all weather form has now played a key factor in this card. How much has it kind of changed your opinion on these races?
Yeah, massively, Sammy. It's where we were speaking to each other before the show, because this is the one race where it makes a massive, massive difference, because Queen Animatu probably wouldn't have much chance of beating Sacred on grass, but could have a big chance of beating Sacred on the all-weather. And look, going into this week, when, you know, early on in the week where I thought this was going to be on grass, I thought Sacred was an absolute certainty. Now she's never ran in the all-weather. There's that kind of question mark hanging over, but I think she's just the best filly in the race, and she's drawn in stall one. She's got Ryan Moore. There were glimpses last year where you kind of said to yourself, wow, like the day she won at Newbury, that listed race, I know she was an odds on favourite, but it was like, it was very much wow. And it was like, she could win a group one. Now she's running a group three. Yes, she was beaten at Newmarket on her final start of the season, the Pogo. She was probably a little bit keen in the early stages that day, and Pogo got a kind of the run of the race, so I'd be willing to forgive her that. I just think she's the best horse in the race. It was in grass. I'd be suggesting people to get proper stuck in, but you're just worried. Queen Aminatu just looks a completely different filly on the all-weather than she does on grass. So, yeah, that's the worry, but I'll still stay loyal to Sacred.
Okay, Sacred for DJ. Let's move on to the trials then now. And we kick off with the Fitstairs Oaks Trial Filly Stakes, a listed race over a mile and a half. Be Happy tops the market at 2-1. Eternal Hope 100-30. Bright Diamond is 11-2. Perfect Profit is 7-1. Sunset Point is 8-1. Double figures about the rest of the runners. DJ, Aidan O'Brien topping the market in this race here. On the all weather, is she the one to fancy?
Yeah, it's hard to know now. We spoke earlier about Save the Last Dance not making the race and post stable tour, but one who did was Be Happy. Mm-hmm. And he was very, very positive about Be Happy. But that was back at the beginning of April, obviously. When you saw a reappearance of Song Clu, she actually travelled reasonably well into the race, I thought. And she just looked like she needed the run. Last year, when she won at Cork, I thought she could be something a little bit special. And then it was disappointing to see the way she was beaten in the Staffordshire Stakes at the Curra. She didn't really show what she had shown on debut that day. But the form of her debut has worked out well, because Faniska was second, and Faniska is a pretty talented mare. Tarawa was fifth, and Tarawa is going for the Irish 1000 Guineas. Dermot Weld is very keen on her. So the form is pretty strong. It's hard to know what to make of this race. Bright Diamond, obviously, is the highest rating with a mark of 103 and ran a cracker against commissioning the last time we saw her. I just have a feeling Be Happy is the big improver from 2 to 3. I think the way Aidan spoke about her in that stable tour and the vibes from the yard suggest that she could be one of the better fillies, 3-year-old fillies this season. So I won't be having the bet in the race. I think she's probably the most likely winner.
Okay, Deidre will be leaving the race alone, but Be Happy would be a tentative selection in that one. Maddie, who do you like?
Yeah, firstly, just to leapfrog on the back of what DJ was saying, that Prix Penelope that was won by Pensée de Jour at Saint-Cloud, in which Be Happy was third, I think that could be a really strong race going forward for the rest of the season. I think the winner... I wouldn't be surprised at all if she was winning Group 1s before the season was out. Sea of Roses, as well as a talented filly, wouldn't be surprised if we see her over significantly further later in the season. So I give Be Happy a pretty good chance, but at the market, 2-1 doesn't really make that much appeal to me. Neither does 130 about Eternal Hope. The 11-2 about Bright Diamond does. She's coming off that run behind commissioning, as mentioned. Highest rated in this field on 103, Be Happy just 99. And there is still potential for her to improve after just 3 runs. She's clearly got the best form in the race. Third in the Prestige and then third on the Rolling Mile in that Group 1. Yeah, I think 11-2, she's the one you've got to be focusing on, given the quality of her form. And she looked really special, didn't she, when she won on debut at Newmarket. So I'm going to support her to back that impression up.
Okay, pardon me. Yeah, you mentioned the Prix Penelope there, the form of Ponce de Jour. Sea of Roses was second, Be Happy in third. I think Sea of Roses has an entry in the Musadora, which would be interesting next week at York. But I think, like Maddie said, the form of that could be very, very strong. Ponce de Jour very well fancied for the Prix de Diane. So, yeah, worth taking note of that race there. Jamie, I'll bring you back in for this race. Who do you like in this one?
For all the reasons just outlined, I really like Be Happy. That form of Faniska looks amazing. The form behind Ponce de Jour, when she surely will come, one she'll surely come on for, that in itself is probably near enough good enough to win this race. So yeah, Be Happy for me would be one of my bets of the day.
Okay, Be Happy for Jamie. Let's go on to the 3:35, which is the Derby Trial Stakes there at Lingford, another listed event over a mile and a half. And Military Order is the 5-4 favourite. Circle of Fire is 7-2. Inquiring Minds is 11-2. Laffy is 10-1. Nadawi is 11-1. Waipiro is 16-1. Regal Empire is 25-1. And Think First, 66-1. Military Order was well spoken of by Charlie Appy, Maddie, moving forward to the Derby. I think he's going to be a tough nut to crack over a quarter of a mile further.
I think he will be, and he reminds me an awful lot of his brother Adiar. They're both sort of big, strong colts, big chests on them and very powerful. So therefore, I guess you could say maybe this track would be a slight doubt for him, but he wouldn't necessarily interest me at 5-4 anyway, for all that I wouldn't be surprised if he went on to win. The one who I like, I've got a bit of a soft spot for this horse, is Waipiro for Ed Walker and Rob Hornby. Interestingly, on our site now, Bet365 are offering 16-1 when Ladbrokes are as short as 10. So there's a bit of discrepancy there. This horse, I just thought he took such a big step forward to win a novice stakes at Newmarket. And it was really impressive there. Withdrawn, obviously, in that Newmarket stakes afterwards, because that was the incident when Tom Marcon got a kick. So that was why Pirro's none of his fault. He's by Australia, and I just think this sire is just so reliable in races like this, because his progeny is Stay. They tend to be quite straightforward and they just keep on improving all the way through. So for me, at the prices, I think Waipiro, connections have always thought a lot of him, and I think he might just be progressing at the right time. So 16-1, I don't think that's too bad at all.
I completely agree with Maddie. I think Waipiro 16-1 is far too big as an each way price. DJ, I mean, Hayden O'Brien had won 4 of the last 12 runnings of this, but Bertinelli didn't actually get supplemented for the race. What do we make of it?
I think a bit like Sacred earlier, I think it was on grass. I think Military Order would be extremely hard to beat. And I'd say this was the one race they were hoping would be definitely held on grass, because he looks like he's going to be fine with a cut on the ground. He'd be a little bit like Adair. Look, he could win, and I'd say he could be a very nice horse. The one that I do like this year going forward as a three-year-old is Laffy for William Haggis and Richard Kingscott. He won that famous maiden at Nottingham that two Derby winners have won. Desert Crown won it, and what's the other one? It's on the tip of my tongue. It'll come to me by the end of the show, but another Derby winner won the same maiden at Nottingham as Laffy. Desert Crown definitely won it, but he was favoured that day, but it was quite a remarkable performance, because at one stage it looked like he literally couldn't win, because a horse of Andrew Balding's kind of went clear, Cadavar, and it looked like Laffy had been left a lot to do that day. Kieran Fallon rode him, but he actually just really found his stride two out, and he only won narrowly by a half a length, but he was kind of nicely snugly on top of the line. And I just remember watching the race that day and thinking to myself, he's only a baby and he is going to make some three-year-old. And he had been beaten in Newmarket on his debut, when again he was being pushed and shoved along. He looked a big baby in the middle part of the race. It's a complete guessing game how much these horses can improve from 2 to 3, but just the way he won at Nottingham, I thought we were only scratching the surface with Laffy. I'd say he's a nice horse. I've no idea how he's going to handle the all-weather. I have no idea how good he is, but I have a feeling he's very good. And you're getting a decent price to find out, around about 10 to 1.
The one you were thinking of, DJ, was Golden Horn, and I don't think that Desert Crown did win it. That was another one. It was Adiar and Golden Horn who won that.
Oh, there we go. I knew two. I remember watching at the time, and they were saying two Derby winners have won this race. So there you go. There's the two of them. Thanks, Manny.
So Laffy 10 to 1 and Waipiro 16 to 1. Two decent each way shouts so far. Jamie Benson, you're not going to spoil it by going for the favourite, are you?
No. I actually really liked Waipiro for all the reasons laid out. So, I mean, I was delighted when Maddie started explaining why she thought he would run well, because I was trying desperately to find other reasons. And yeah, there we go. I literally, as we were talking, went on and took some of those 16s. So there we go.
Okay, Waipiro, yeah, 16 to 1. Probably going to end up in our Tote Fantasy team. How about this then? As the flat season really gets flowing with the Guineas and Chester, the National Hunt keeps flowing on as we preview the Pertemps Network Swinton Handicap Hurdle from Haydock. Just shy of 2 miles for this Premier Handicap Hurdle. Brentford Hope 5-1 along with Biker. Teddy Blue is 8-1. Paramount is 9-1. 12-1 about Luna Sovereign, and 14-1 and bigger the rest of them. DJ, flat. But like I say, the jumps won't go away.
Yeah, I think this is the bet of the day, Sam. I fancied Brentford Hope for this race for quite a while. Not quite the 3 months that Jamie Benson is fancying his Victoria Cup runner. But yeah, Brentford Hope is one of them horses. Obviously, we remember him with Richard Hughes and this travelly thing that Jamie Spencer won easily on one day. But he's progressed out of all recognition since joining Harry Derham from Richard Hughes. And it was what he did kind of in his last two starts that really impressed me. When he won at Wincanton at 1-6, like, you know, he'd nothing to beat, never come off the bridle. But it was last time at Huntington, he beat this horse off Nicky Henderson's, who was seriously well backed in Paws Toy, and he absolutely hammered him in the end. And then Paws Toy actually traded really short and running during that race, because he looked to be travelling over all over him. Going into that race, he had won an extra maiden hurdle and Paws Toy had by 16 lengths, and he bumped into Egbert at Ludlow prior to that. So his form looked pretty solid in the lead up to the race. And Brentford Hope just brushed him aside as if he was nothing. Brentford Hope has gone up from 114. It wasn't a handicap, obviously, just not an obvious hurdle, but he went up £9 from 114 to 123. I don't think it was enough. I think he's a good jumper. We know from the flat he was a proper three-figure rated flat horse. I think the track is definitely going to suit him at Haydock. Harry Derham has told us during the week that he's been laid out for the race. The plan was to win those two races and then come for the Swinton. Like, there's nearly 57 grand to the winner. You've obviously got to respect Charles Burns and Biker, you know, just touched off in the Boodles at Cheltenham, and maybe that is stronger form, maybe that's far superior to anything that Brentford Hope has done over hurdles. He's got up £4 for that. I'm not sure about the Boodles this year. Riss Bell is obviously Frank de Form at Fairy House, but I'm just not 100% sure about it. Mr. Freedom was fifth. Metamorpheus has been well beaten since in sixth. Affidel has obviously come out and won. There's mixed messages about the form of the Boodles. And I think Brentford Hope is still seriously well handicapped off mark of 123. So I think he's the best bet on Saturday.
Brentford Hope on the bets of the day, 5-1 currently. Maddie, who's the jump selection for this weekend?
I'll get to mine in a sec, but I do want to just jump on Brentford Hope. Obviously, he's been popular, and it's not hard to see why. He's a horse of a lot of talent on the flat, and Harry Derham has turned that around and translated it to jumps. And I think, you know, it doesn't take a genius to say that Harry's had a brilliant first season training, but I think one of the things that stuck out for me is just how well he's campaigned his horses. He had a horse called Darganini win a decent seniors race at Newbury. And beforehand, he'd won a handicap hurdle at Uttoxeter, and Harry had pinpointed that unique race from some way out with him. And it sounds like he's done exactly the same with Brentford Hope. Of just 123, you'd have to be taking him very seriously. And I just think it's worth talking up Harry, given that he's clearly spotted this race for the horse from a long way out. My selection, though, I'm going to go for one at a bigger price, as I always try and do, around the 14-1 mark. Black Poppy for Kerry Lee. Quite interesting, she had her graded novice, Nemean Lion, in here, and he was taken out perhaps on account of conditions. But I was just super impressed by the acceleration that Black Poppy showed at Cheltenham at their April meeting last time to win. Wasn't in the best position, but won going away by 2¾ lengths from Sam Tara. This is clearly a lot hotter, but he had some good novice hurdle form as a younger horse, and is pretty unexposed in contests like this. Often these races, you know, they come at the end of a long season for some horses, and it can be a bit muddling. I think Black Poppy comes into this raging in form, hasn't had a hard season, and will absolutely love conditions. So I think he's definitely a couple of points too big at 14-1.
Black Poppy 14-1 for Maddie. Jamie, who do you like in this one?
It's not terribly imaginative, but I just thought Biker, up only £4 for that second in the Fred Winter, looked unbelievably well handicapped still. It's an interesting bit of placement that he's come here rather than going to all of the other sort of big Irish festivals post Cheltenham. Probably maybe he'd need a bit of time to get over it. That was in first time pieces. The pieces are reapplied here. I just think he's probably the best handicapped in this race. And you aren't getting much juice on the price. He's 5-1. And I wouldn't put anyone off taking a swing in an each way price, like with Black Poppy. But for me, I think probably Biker goes and wins.
Okay, Biker 5-1 for Jamie. And that's the main ITV action covered. We take a trip to Paris in just a few seconds.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the final part of the postcast, brought to you by Tote Fantasy. Sam Hart joined by Maddie Playle, David Jennings, and Tote Fantasy's very own Mr. Jamie Benson. Let's take a trip to Paris then and get stuck into the French 1,000 and 2,000 guineas. Longchamp the course, and we start off with the Pool d'Essai du Poulain, which is the French 2,000 guineas. And currently I do have a market here. American Flag tops the market at 5-2. Isaac Shelby, Green and winner of 7-2, Hans Andersen 10-1, Valimi 12-1, 25-1, and bigger about the rest of these. Maddie, what's your French form knowledge like, and who do you like in this?
Yeah, I always try and keep tabs on the French form, and the one that I came down on was the Aga Khan's Valimi. A little bit surprised at that price, given that he beat American Flag as a two-year-old. Second at Saint-Cloud behind halfway line, not sure he got the run of the race there, and then beat that horse last time out at Longchamp on soft ground. This horse is by Teofilo, so I'd expect he'd be getting much further in time, and indeed there's plenty of stamina in his pedigree. So I guess we want a truly run race for this colt. But I just think at the prices, he's the one for me. Isaac Shelby, I mean, he won the Green Room, he was very impressive in it. But I'm not sure that was really that higher quality, considering what happened to Chaldean. We'll wait and see on that form. And I think Hans Andersen, the Aidan O'Brien representative, as much as he was solid last year, and I expect he will come forward, the son of Frankel, I think he's probably got a little bit to go in terms of class. Knight was pretty disappointing in that Greenham as well, on soft ground. So I think Valimi for Christian Jimura and Jean-Claude Rouget is the one to side with.
Yeah, I previewed this race this morning. I really cannot believe the price of Valimi at 12-1. I mean, like you say, Maddie, he ran once as a two-year-old, beating American Flag by a length and a quarter. I mean, started the season in the pre-Comrad where this horse was just beaten by Halfway Line, who just looked much fitter that day, but reversed that form in the pre-Machado next time out, beating Halfway Line by the same distance. So I've got a feeling that Valimi at 12-1 is a massive, massive price. I think American Flag did look exceptional, but yeah, could be better stepped up in trip. But Valimi over a mile looks quite an exciting type. DJ, what's your opinions on this race?
Oh, I'm getting worried now. I'm a big American Flag fan. Just visually, he's been so impressive. And even like, there's a bit of substance to his form as well. When he won at St. Cloud, that listed race in March, the second Kenley won next time at Toulouse, and looks a nice horse, the runner-up actually that day, but he's just been winning by wide margins and doing it really impressively. The ground has come good for him, obviously. You know, he seems to be, I don't know what he's going to be like on decent ground, but like when it's a bit of a bog, he looks exceptional. Like, it was very, very soft last time in that Prix de Fontainebleau, and he just seemed to just like absolutely glide across it. I thought he bolted up. Like, he won by 2.5, he could have won by 4.5. I've no idea kind of how quality the form is, but it looks okay to me, and with ground the draw is fine and stall too. I just thought he was going to be very hard to beat, American Flag.
No, I think you're right. I think American Flag is definitely the one to beat. I think Maddie and I are just going to have a nice each way play on Valimi in the Poulain. But let's move over to the fillies now for the French 1000 gillies, the Poule d'Essai de Pouliche. Once again, a group one over a mile and a half. And Christopher Head trains the strongly well-fancied Blue Rose Sen, who's 10-11 favourite. Never-Ending Story, 5-1. Lindy, 11-1. Kalina, 14s. Ritornelle, 16. Bigger about the rest of them in here. DJ, I'm a big fan of the stable of Christopher Head, and Blue Rose Sen has been back to a week from 2-1 into 10-11 favouritism. Should really be winning this.
Yeah, I'd say she's probably the most likely winner. I do think Never-Ending Story is good, though. And probably there's probably a little bit too much between them in the prices. Like, Never-Ending Story basically bolted up in that 1,000 guineas trial. Matilda Picotte was second, and Matilda Picotte ran a cracker in the 1,000 guineas and finished third, albeit beaten, you know, whatever, seven and a bit lengths. But Never-Ending Story is one of these fillies that Aidan has that you just know she's going to keep progressing. The way he's talking about her, everything about her suggests she's just going to keep progressing as a three-year-old. And it makes little sense, really, because she ran so much at two. But he just has this ability for her, for fillies especially, when they run a lot at two, they seem to still progress at three. And, you know, the fact that she won first time out when others in or around her in the pecking order were beaten suggests to me that she's come forward a lot. Like, Blue Rose can obviously deserves to be favourite, but I'd say Never-Ending Story is going to run a cracker here. You know, she handled the heavy ground at Leopardstown when she won. It was pretty, pretty hard work that day, and she won well. She's a big, big player here. I'd say she's probably too big of a price.
Okay, Never-Ending Story, 5-1 for DJ. Maddie, I don't know if you actually caught the Prix de Guiche earlier in the week, but Christopher Head, with the same connections, they won the race with Big Rock, and the horse just jumped out in front, stayed there and drew clear. And this is probably the same kind of ride you'll get with Blue Rose Sen, looking at the way that she likes to run. She'll jump out, she'll sit in front and hopefully just stay there. That'll be the target. I mean, are you going to be with the favourite here?
Yeah, just talking about that other horse you mentioned, Aurelien Lemaitre, who rides this filly, was on him and so impressive, wasn't he? So he's definitely a horse to keep on side.
Some name, isn't it?
Pig Rock, yeah. Rock of Gibraltar is a perfectly well named.
I'm going to stick with Blue Rose Sen, I think. I mean, I looked at her form last season, and when she came into the Marcel Boussac, I thought that she would probably find one or two too good, but she just has this lovely way of running, always runs prominently. It's very straightforward and seems to stay really well as well. And obviously her form has received boosts. She was only a short neck behind Victoria Road in Deauville earlier on in the season, and then won the Group 3 Prix de la Grotte last time, which is traditionally a really good trial for the classics. So I just can't really take her on. The likes of Kalina and Quickstep both showed really strong form last year, and they're slightly dark horses who could improve. And I'd probably fancy one of those over Never-Ending Story. But yeah, for me, Blue Rose Sen is going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, Blue Rose Sen. I can't wait to hopefully see her win the Pooleash at the weekend. Let's see if there's anything else from the team now. DJ, is there anything else this weekend that we haven't covered that you fancy?
Yeah, just one before I get onto it. I have to praise your French, Sam. It's very, very impressive.
I can speak a little bit. Un petit peu, DJ. Un petit peu.
Oh, okay. That's a little, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just have one for you at the weekend. Navan is on Saturday, and there's the Irish Stallion Farms EBF Yates Stakes. So it's a listed race, and you've got a few potentially exciting middle distance performers from Ballydoyle in here, but there's one that I like, and he could be a bit of a price as well. It's a horse called St. Vincent's Garden that's trained by Joseph. He's running the Lloyd Williams colours. Now, we didn't see him at two at all, but he made his debut in a maiden at Leopardstown only last was Leopardstown on Sunday or Saturday? Last Sunday or Saturday. I think it was Sunday. And it was beaten by Azazat of Dermot Wells in Queenstown. But he just ran the most beautiful race. It was like he was so green at various parts of the race. And Declan McDonagh was niggling along and niggling along. He was still beating seven lengths, but I just loved what he did up the home straight. He just struck me as the type that's just going to improve drastically from first to second start. He's a brother to Mona's Melody, who's a pretty smart performer as well. So he's well bred. He could be a double figure price here, but I just have this feeling he's a nice horse. You know the way you get a feeling about a horse sometimes? That's St. Vincent's Garden, and I know Bruce Millington will be giving out to me. It is in the 405 at Navan.
That's it, yeah. 8-1 currently the price about St. Vincent's Garden, I see here. And you got to remember, Azazat, who won that race, was in the race at a Filly's Maiden that was won by Save the Last Dance, and Boogie Woogie was second, and both have since bolted up since. Mm. So the form has worked out very good of that. So yeah, 8-1 might not be the worst price you want to follow that form in. Maddie, are you sticking to the action that we've already covered, or have you got anything elsewhere?
Oh, I'm not. I'm sticking to the action we've already covered, and I'll wait until I reveal my nap.
Perfect. No problem at all. Right, let's get our Tote Fantasy team. This is the bit where Jamie has built a team for us and we can discuss whether we want to change it after he's revealed it. So, Jamie, go on, tell us what the team looks like so far this weekend.
Jeez, honestly, of all the people I do this with, DJ scares the life out of me the most.
Just get on with it.
So the 130 at Ascot, I've got Nathaniel Green in for DJ. 205 at Ascot, we've got Julia Augusta, which is both of the panel, which is great.
Oh, this is glorious.
Well, it's about to be less glorious. So 225 at Leafy, we've got Sandrine for Maddie for 2,500. Sacred was 1,250 more expensive. And we've got a couple of budget issues, so happens to try and balance it out a little bit.
That's all right. Maddie is a far better judge than I'll ever be. Go for it.
Oh, you're much nicer when you run with Maddie versus G-Rod.
He knows that I won't let him get away with anything, that's why.
Exactly. So then Victoria Cup, 240 Ascot. I've got Kingdom Come for DJ.
Would you not go for your one there?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to overrule.
Wait 3 months for it. I'm only waiting 3 minutes for mine.
All right.
Go for yours.
Well, fortunately, they're both 750 guineas, so we'll put Vafatino instead. 3 o'clock. At Leafy, I've got Bright Diamond in, but that's a budget thing because Bright Diamond's only 1750, whereas Be Happy is 2,500.
Yeah, that's fine.
And it's quite hard to find that budget elsewhere. So then 3:15, Hey Dr. Swinton. You've got Brentford Hope in, obviously. That would have been peas and carrots everywhere if I hadn't put that in, I suspect.
Worms everywhere, yeah.
Yeah. And then the last is 3:35, Linfield, and we've got Wipe Hero in.
Yes, correct decision. He's got to go in.
So yeah, how are we feeling, team?
Well, I mean, I seem quite happy with this at the moment. I don't know about you, DJ and Maddie.
Happy apart from the fact that Be Happy isn't in it, but other than that, I think you've done a sterling job there, Skipper.
Very good, very good. I think it's worth, look, one of our panel gets to pick the Stewards Inquiry, which allows you to boost a horse's place. It picks up the points for the place ahead of that horse, and one gets to pick the Stable Star, which is double points. So, Maddie, would you like to pick the double points horse, or would you like to pick the Stewards Inquiry that boosts the horse up a place?
Okay. Should we go Stewards Inquiry for Waipiro then?
Good shout.
I love that. I was going to suggest that as well. It's always useful using stewards on a small field when you're pretty sure the horse is going to run well. So, yeah, I love that.
Perfect. So, Maddie picks Waipiro to have our stewards inquiry. And, DJ, you can have the Stable Star this week. Who's going to be the double pointer?
Oh, that's an easy one. Brentford Hope.
Brentford Hope will be our stable star this week. So, Jamie, just quickly run through the team for us.
Love it. 1:30 at Ascot, we've got Nathaniel Green. 2:05 at Ascot, we've got Julia Augusta. 2:25 at Lingfield, we've got Sandrine. 2:40 at Ascot, we've got Vafotino on the Vafotino dog. 3:00 at Lingfield, we've got Bright Diamond. 3:15 at Haydock, Brentford Hope, Napola, Star Stable Star, Bolts In. And then lastly, 3:35, Waipiru with the Stewards Inquiry.
There we go. That is our Tote Fantasy team. Remember, you can get involved. £7 to play. And you can enter our Racing Postcast Private League as well. Get involved with that. There's little private prizes to go out in that league as well. So definitely worth getting involved. All the details will be shared on the Tote Fantasy and Racing Post social media channels. Remember, we are looking for your feedback. So do fill in the survey down in the audio description for your chance to win a £50 Amazon voucher. Very easy to do. Quickly go and click on it and fill in that survey. Now, all that's left to do is get the naps. And we'll start off with Maddie Playle. Who's going to be your nap this weekend?
Yeah, I've already mentioned him plenty, and a lot of this is based on the price. I'm not saying he's a Derby winner, but I really fancy Waipiro in 3:35, the Lingfield Derby trial. I think he's all set to run a cracking race. And if you were interested in the Derby, he's a best price 40-1 shot for that as well.
Well, there we go. Waipiro, a 16-1 nap. We love to see those. DJ, who's going to be your nap this week? And I think we already know.
Yeah, I'm kind of giving the game away, haven't I? Da-da-da-da. It is in the 3:15 at Haydock, and it's Brentford Hope.
Brentford Hope for DJ at 5-1. And Jamie Benson, who's going to be your best bet this week? And you've waited 3 months for this, so I hope it's Vafotina. Yeah.
No, it's actually in the 8:12 at Chelmsford. No, it's Vafotino, 2:40 Ascot.
There we go.
Vafotina. And Sam, what's yours, Sam?
Whilst my nap will be Valimi each way. I would put up Blue Rose Sen, it's too short, but I'll go Valimi each way at 12-1 would be my nap. In the Pool d'Essai du Poulain will be the bet for me over in France on Sunday. So
we'll take that. Better than a tip.
phenomenal work.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Right, well, that's it for the postcast. Thanks for watching, as always. Don't forget to catch the front page on Monday covering all the week's big stories, which comes to you in a video format on our YouTube channel, but also in an audio format on most podcast platforms. Plenty more great videos on the channel throughout the week. And Bruce will be back next weekend previewing the Lockinge from Newbury. Until then, have a good weekend, and thanks for tuning in to the Racing Postcast.